this problem.
Fine. Let's have this problem. Well, good morning. God bless you guys. You know, I sitting back there and listening, Warren, I think that's a keeper.
Okay.
I don't know about anybody else listening, but I think that's a keeper, dude. That was beautiful. And I was especially blessed when Eli prayed, because one of the things he prayed is that we could get into God's Word and see the glorious truth that He holds for us in His Word. That was part of your prayer, and I thought, that's what I've been praying all week, that when I teach, that's what will happen with this teaching. Mm-hmm. And just to hear somebody else's heart is locked into that, you know, I mean, what Barney prayed, and I mean, everything. It's like the manifestations. I mean, you guys, a manifestation, that's God talking to us. It's a personal message, right? Remember? Sometimes I think we've done it for so many, for so many years. I've done it for so many years and sometimes forget how magnificent it is to hear from God like that. And then to be able to manifest and bring a message like that, that God would work in your heart to do that, to bless His people, to speak His Word to this group right here. You know, sometimes I think when you say, those that want to manifest, please stand. Everybody in the room should be standing. But there are people that God works in that moment. And it's so awesome when you can just realize how great the things we already know about and we do on a daily basis, like, you know, perfect prayer. And we do these things because they're part of our lives. And isn't that what the Word's about? It's not how much you know. Now, I had this conversation with a wonderful woman of God yesterday. You know, who hasn't been in the Word as long as I have, which does not make any difference. And we were just discussing the fact that sometimes, you know, she feels intimidated by people who have been in the Word for a long time. And I said, you know what? Your Holy Spirit is as powerful and as perfect as mine is. And it's not if you know this much Word or this much Word. It's how much of the Word you know do you walk. That's what's important to God. It's not how much knowledge. Great knowledge is great. Don't get me wrong. The more your relationship develops with God, the more knowledge you will be able to understand from the book He's written. He will open your eyes of understanding. It doesn't matter how long you've been around or haven't been around. It's what you do with what He's teaching you that accelerates your spiritual understanding and growth. Isn't that awesome? It doesn't matter. God can work. It's so cool. Anyway, so I'm a teacher. I was just so moved by all that. I wanted to share that. We're going to start in 1 Corinthians 13:13, which my buddy over here mentioned before he sang. We're going to talk about love. We're going to talk about God. We're going to talk about love. We're going to talk about Jesus Christ. We're going to talk about love. We're going to talk about love. We're going to talk about loving each other. We're going to talk about God's loving each other. We're going to talk about love. We are going to talk about love. You know why? Because God says in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, He wants to read it. Who's there?
Verse
13.
And now by the faithful charity, these three, but the greatest of these, charity.
The greatest of these is charity. It's the love. Now, you know, I've read this verse for many years. And, of course, the whole chapter is about love. But then you get down here, and it says in verse 13, and now by faith, hope, and love. And you know what? Warren's right. They all work together. But there is something uniquely different about love. First of all, God sets it out and sets it apart, because He says, but the greatest of these is love. Why? Why is that the greatest? You know, and I've never really thought about it until very recently. Why? I just like, oh, okay, that's cool. Love's greatest. Well, you know what? I really believe love's the greatest is because love's been here from the beginning. Because God is love. And if He is the one who initiated what love is and how to love. Because He's been here from the beginning. In the beginning, God created what? He created everything. And God is love. The Word, and we're going to see that as we get some scriptures here. God is love. God is light. In Him is no darkness at all. God is love. And He's been from the beginning. Faith is something that we do now. Faith is having the trust and confidence in God. And love builds that faith. The more we understand God's love for us and how He sees us and how awesome we are to Him, the more our trust and confidence builds to have that faith in God that He will do what He says He will do. Do you trust someone you barely know? I mean, just as a person. No. I mean, if you're smart, you don't. Unless God gives you the revelation, you can trust this guy in this situation. No. You've got to spend time with Him. You've got to learn the Word. You've got to sit in His presence in order to have a tight relationship with God, in order for that faith in our lives to be built. It's a building thing. Hope. Hope is future. Hope sustains us. It is an anchor to our hearts right now. When we face difficult situations sometimes, the only thing that gets you through it is the hope. I know. We just went through something. And the hope is anchored in our hearts. But when the hope happens, is it going to be there anymore? Nope. Not going to need it. And guess what? We're not going to need faith either. Because we're going to be in the presence of God. We're going to see Christ face to face. But love, is love still going to be there? You betcha. Because love is eternal. Let's look at John 3:16. Some very familiar verses today, you know? But you know what? They're important. Because this thing called love, it's not just something that you feel. It's a decision you make to do. And you know what? We all have issues sometimes that they get hacked off at somebody, or somebody's feelings that get hurt, or I'll hurt somebody's feelings unintentional, or whatever. Whatever the situation is, it's not bigger than God's love. And that's where we got to make the decision that, you know what? This is the standard God has set. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but what? Amen. Now, what does verse 17 say? Read it together, please. No condemnation. That's not why Jesus Christ came. That's not why God sent Him. God set the standard for love in Himself. And if you doubt that, look at the creation some night. Go outside and look at the stars. Watch a sunset, a sunrise. Look at a flower. Listen to the birds. This is His creation. Every part of that has His love in it. And yet, you and I, His Word says, is His masterpiece. I'm like, really, God? I look in the mirror, and I don't always see a masterpiece there. Sorry. But He says you are. So who am I? Who am I to deny what God has already proclaimed as true? Well, if I deny it, I'm pretty dumb. Wouldn't you think? Mm-hmm. But sometimes I got to talk myself into it. But again, it's a decision I decide to make. Am I going to love the way He loved? The standard He set? Because it also says here in this wonderful book, and Jesus Christ said it, is you have to love your neighbors yourself. You got to love yourself. You got to see how much God loves you and how important you are to God. And it doesn't matter what your past is. It doesn't matter the mistakes you're going to make in the future, because we're going to make some. Hopefully, they'll all be little tiny mistakes that you know aren't any big deal. But sometimes we might make a big one. It doesn't matter to God. What matters is that you understand how much He loves you and that you walk in that love, because those are the two commandments He gave us. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, right? And love your neighbor as yourself. That's God's commandments. That's it. It's like, whoa. That's pretty darn good, especially when you look at the Ten Commandments. Not that there's anything wrong with them for the Jewish community in olden days, but it's not what He wants now. He wants us to just walk in this tremendous love. John 3:16, we looked at. The first thing He did was He gave. The second thing you can see from John 3:16 and 17 is God took action. He just didn't say, I love you, you're my masterpiece. He gave you a Savior. He took action. Look at Romans 5:8. God took action. God sets the standard. It really isn't up to how I feel about love. Because I tell you, ask Barney, feelings go woo sometimes, like this. But that's not what this is. Love is not about a feeling. I know the world teaches different. It's not. It's a decision you make to do what God asks you to do towards Him, yourself, and towards each other. Romans 5, didn't I say? Mm-hmm. Chapter 5, verse 8. Let's read that one. But God demonstrates His own love towards us, in that while we were yet still sinners, Christ died for us. I'm reading from the New King James Testament, in case it's a little different. But the point is, He demonstrated His own love towards us, in that while we were still sinners, we did not deserve it, not one little bit. Christ died for us. Man, is that a standard? Is that an action? Of course it is. And God took it. Look at 1 John. I'm going to spend a little bit of time in 1 John. Personally, I call 1 John the love book. Because there is love all over this book. All kinds. 1 John chapter 4. Let's start in verse 7, okay? Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Love is of God. It's not your idea or my idea. It was God's. And He set the standard with Christ. He gave. So we need to learn to give unconditionally like that. He who does not love does not know God, for God is what? See, I told you. I didn't make it up. God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested towards us, that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through Him. Wow. In this is love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation or payment for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, also we should love one another. No one has seen God at any time. If we have love for one another, God abides in us and His love has been perfected in us. See, that love of God is perfect. And when we, it says right there, when we abide in it, we're perfected in it. When we live in that love of God, the love we have for each other is going to be sweet and tender and compassionate and strong and powerful. Those are all things that we have abiding in us in the love of God. And we're supposed to love each other that way. Just like God and Christ has loved us. Look at 1 Peter chapter 4. I mean, really, when you start looking at this, it's easy. I mean, does this sound hard? Does this sound harsh? Does this sound like impossible? No, man. He gave us His Spirit. It's in here. It's in here. It's just convincing our little noggins up here that our feelings don't supersede the truth of God's love. The truth of the Word about love. You know? Isn't that... I mean, I didn't think this very cool. I'm excited about it. Okay, verse 8. And above all things, have a fervent love one for another. For love will cover a multitude of sins. First of all, it says, and above all things. You mean my hurt feelings? You mean my injured pride? You mean I don't really know you that well, so blah? You mean I don't like your hairdo? No. Above all things, have fervent love one for another. Fervent. You know what that word means? White, hot love. You ever seen a branding iron put in the stove or in the fire and it's burning when it comes out and it's white and red on the end, but the really hot part of it is white? That's the passion that we should love one another with according to God's word. That unconditional, not you do something for me, Bob, Eli, and I'll do something for you. That is not the kind of love God's talking about. God's talking about we're going to love each other no matter what. It has nothing to do with what he does for me or I do for him. It has to do with what God has done for us in Christ. Now we can do for one another. And you know what? You know what sets us apart? That love. I'm not going to read this verse, but in the Gospels, Jesus Christ says that they will know you are my disciples. Not by all the miracles you do, not by all the knowledge you have about the Bible, but about how you love one another. Pretty cool, huh? I don't have to do amazing things to love you. I just have to let God's love manifest itself towards you and you towards me. Because I want to be loved that way. I think this is God's standard of love. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I do think we have to be reminded sometimes of these magnificent, actually miraculous things that God, because of his Spirit in us, has allowed us to do even now, today, in our lifetime. You know? Healing somebody is a miraculous thing sometimes. Sometimes it's a miraculous thing that is progressive. Loving somebody is healing every time you do it. Loving somebody is putting God's heart in your hand to their heart. It's an action we take. It's something we decide to do. And God is very, you know, and he's very simply, it's very simple in his word that we would do this. So let's look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 9. I need a couple of verses here. This is the word of God. But concerning brotherly love, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. And I believe the people in this room fit this verse. We do love each other. We love one another. Look at the next verse. And indeed, you do so towards all the brethren who are called in Macedonia. But we urge you, and even though you do love each other that way, we urge you. This is Paul writing. This is God working in Paul. We urge you, brethren, that you increase more and more. Don't get comfortable. Well, we love each other. That's cool. You know, we're a good group. We hang out. Don't get complacent about this thing called love. It's the greatest thing out of faith, hope, and love. God says it's the greatest thing. It's going to be here for eternity. It's huge. And how we love each other is big. It's really big. It's bigger than I ever saw before. Okay, let's look at 1 John chapter 4 again. And let's go to verse 16 this time. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. You believe the love God has for you? I hope so. After this teaching, I hope you believe it even bigger. God is love. How many times has he said it in just the few verses I've read today? And these are just a few verses about this topic, people. This is just a little drip about this topic from God's word. But it's powerful, isn't it? God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. I want you to just take a minute and think about that verse. If you abide in God's love, God abides in you. And you know what? If God doesn't abide in you, you can't abide in God's love. There is no way to separate the two from each other. Once you get born again in God's Spirit and believe that Jesus Christ died on that cross for you and that God raised him from the dead and he is seated at the right hand of God, nothing separates you from the love of God. Nothing. Not even our own stubborn head sometimes. It's just a fact of God. That's huge. That's huge. Because if I could have separated myself from God, but because of my own thinking or believing, it would have happened so many times in my life. And I would have been so mad at myself for doing it. But see, God set it up where, you know what, He protects us, even from our own silly heads at times. Love has been perfected. Oh, there you go. Perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as He is, so are we in this world. Jesus Christ loved. Look at the Gospels. He loved. He loved. He loved deeply. He had compassion. He had understanding. He had boldness. And He didn't compromise on the word in the process. But He loved. You want to know how to love greater? Read the Gospels and look at the walk of Jesus Christ. There is none other that's a better example for us than the walk of Jesus Christ. But we have to make sure we're walking it once we read it. And that's therein the challenge, isn't it? Because the adversary will do anything and everything to keep us from loving one another the way God talks about. Because you know what happens? When a group loves like that, when a couple, let's just start with a couple, a married couple, an engaged couple, a friend and friend, a boss and an employer, just a couple. When two people understand this and begin to treat each other with that love and respect and honor, they become stronger. They become tighter. They become more like-minded on the things of God. That gives them more power than if you're standing over here by yourself trying to do it on your own. This love thing, when a group of believers love each other like God said, there is a power that comes from that. And people see that and they're like, God, what is going on here? I cannot tell you how many people have said that to me during my lifetime. You guys, there's something different about you guys. You know what? It's an understanding of who we are in Christ that we then return and manifest towards each other. Because if I don't understand who I am in Christ, I'm not going to understand who Judy is in Christ. I'm just going to see Judy in the flesh. But I want to see Judy in the flesh. I want to see Judy through the eyes of Christ. I want Christ's eyes out here in front of mine when I look at my brothers and sisters. And I want to love each and every one of you with that love. Because there is power in that. And God tells us to do it. It's His request. Commandment, actually. Look at... let's finish here. Where did we stop? I'm sorry. There's no fear. Verse 18. There's no fear in love. Well, there's a clue. If you're afraid about something, if there's a fear in your heart, you need to check out the love meter in that area and find out, okay, God, what do I need to do to jack the love meter up here? Because perfect love casts out fear. That's what God's word says. I didn't say it. God said it. Because fear involves torment. Ever been tormented because you're just so anxious and afraid something's about to happen or might happen or should have happened and didn't happen or what's going to happen or how is this going to... Got to get your head back into the love of God, man, because it says the love of God casts out fear. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. That verse right there, God says it about two different ways. We love him because he first loved us. If someone says, I love God, and hates his brother. That's not what the translation says. Sorry. He is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? Good question. God puts questions in here to make our minds work and think. Right? Yeah. You got to love each other. And this is his commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must also love his brother. Whoever believes that Jesus is Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves him who begotten also loves him who is begotten of him. We all love God. God loves all of us. Christ loves us. We all love Christ. But by this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and what? Keep His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not what? Burdensome. That's what Jesus says. And when you think about loving somebody like that, is that a burden? No, that's a joy. That could be actually a lot of fun. We can figure some really good things out to bless each other doing that. You know, look at Ephesians 5. We can close with this verse. But before we close with this verse, you know what, you guys? I want to just say a couple of things about love. Some of this is mine. Some of this is just statements I've read by other people. And I've said this already in this teaching, but I think it is really something we have to chew on, each individual person. It isn't about how much you know about love or about the Word. It's how much you give. You can study forgiveness, but if you're not a forgiving person, how much does that do for you? You can study about truth, but if you're not ready to walk the truth, what good does it do to have the truth? There are two great motivators. It's fear and love. And we just read about that. And love is bigger than fear. We just have to remember that when we're being challenged in that area. And you know what? There's nothing wrong with calling a brother or sister and saying, you know what? I am really anxious about this. Will you pray with me? That's love. When you have an issue and you reach out to someone else because you know in and of yourself you can do nothing by yourself, and you've gone to God and it's still there, that's why God put us in a family. Reach out. Don't be prideful. And then you, if you're the receiving end of that call, thank God that you have a chance to pray for someone as magnificent as the person is on the other end of that phone. And do it with great joy. And you will see that fear dissipate. It's just the truth that God's already promises. I'm not a liar. There are two great things in a marriage. And I would say in any relationship between two people. But marriage is supposed to be the example of the mystery to the body of Christ. So all you married couples or engaged couples, listen up. Two great things in marriage. Love and forgiveness. You are not marrying Jesus Christ. I don't care how awesome I thought Barney was, and I thought he was pretty close to Jesus Christ before I married. I'm sure Jana thinks, damn, I got me a nice man back there. And she does. She has one of God's masterpieces back there, and so does he. You got to remember who you're dealing with when you're married, because we can get very complacent about that other person and forget to tell them how awesome they are or how thankful you are for them. You know, and then when you do something dumb, like let your ego or your pride be in a situation where I gotta be right, I'm right about this, the other person has to forgive. Ooh, it's not pretty. And it's not, but you know what? God says we need to forgive each other. We're to love each other unconditionally. Marriages are, they're an example to the body here, people. We got to think about this when we're married here. It's a responsibility that we take on according to the Word. You know what else? We got to teach our children how to love. We got to bring our kids up loving them, being the example of the love of God to them. So this is a part of their hearts and life. It's not something they have to learn when they're 28 like I did. I didn't have a clue what real love was till I got involved in the Word. But Brenna, our children, you know, Jan's children, the children that have grown up in the Word, Kathy Ross' children, and Sarah and Louie's children, I mean, and the future children that are going to be in this room, we got to teach them how to walk in that love. And being a parent doesn't stop because they get married. We still need to be that example to our children throughout our lifetimes, because that's what God expects us to do. And it's fun. I mean, I can't even believe it or not the first time it happened, but second or third time, maybe third or fourth, when Josh corrected me with the word, I find great joy in that now. First couple of times, I was like, whoa, what did you just do? But you know what? He was speaking the word to me. So I had to change my mind. Because that's love. Him speaking it to me was love. And me changing my mind and receiving it was love. But now it's joy. Don't you get excited when they, like, you see the word just like, woo, in their life? Isn't it an exciting thing to an older parent? It doesn't matter they're not young still. It's that love thing you've built with them throughout the years. And we're the mirrors, and we're always the mirrors, no matter how old we get. A person needs to be loved the most when they deserve it the least. Ever been that person? Where you have just been a real donkey, so to speak. Just being recorded, right? So I gotta watch my words here. Been a real donkey. And you feel really bad, but you're really kind of stubborn, like donkeys. And then that person that you've wronged just comes over and puts their arms around you and says, you know what, I love you. We can work this thing out. We'll talk. We'll figure it out. God's going to work on this. Come on. Do you know how you feel? I mean, wow. Really? Awesome, huh? To be that person and get that love, whoa, changes your heart. And remember, you guys, love is only a thought away. Loving someone is a decision, and it is only a thought away. You just change from I don't want it to I'm gonna. That's love. All right, Ephesians 5, we're going to close here. I think this is one of the greatest verses in the Bible. I know we all have those. Therefore, be imitators of God, your children. Verse 1, chapter 5, verse 1 in Ephesians. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children, and here it is, and walk in love, as Christ also has loved us, and given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. Of all the things that God asks us to imitate from his word, it's love. It's love. You know why? Because it's the greatest thing we can imitate. It's eternity. It's from the beginning. It's not going to end. And God says, imitate that. Imitate that thing. One towards another. And look at Christ, because that's what he did for you. Wow, how much simpler can he make it? I mean, honestly, how much simpler can he make it? It's just a matter of changing our thinking when it flows in opposition to God's word. So I really encourage each of us today to really think and meditate upon these scriptures and upon the things that we saw from God's magnificent word today. Because they are huge. There's nothing greater than that. I don't care. You can have the greatest piece of artwork. You can have be Einstein, have all this knowledge. You can play a piano like Beethoven. Those are all wonderful things. But they don't even compare to the love of God that we have in our hearts to manifest towards each other whenever we want to. Wow, that is a big deal. So you know what? Let's increase more and more. Let's let God show us how to do that and increase more and more in this thing called the greatest thing. Okay? God bless you.